The story is told of Franklin Delano Roosevelt. Apparently, when he was in office as president, he had a problem with things called receiving lines. Because in those receiving lines, he felt that no one really ever listened to what was being said. In the receiving lines, he felt that it was often a waste of time and that it was just an insincere meet and greet. So on one occasion, he decided he would try an experiment. In order to see what reaction he would get from people, he said, "I killed my grandmother this morning." Now, this is a state dinner, a White House event. Can you imagine the reactions that he got from the people as they came through the line saying such a thing? Well, the reactions were things like, "Marvelous. God bless you, Mr. President. You keep up the good work. We're proud of you." No one was really listening. Until he got to the last man in line. It was an ambassador from Bolivia who, unfazed, simply leaned in closely to his ear after having heard those words from President Roosevelt and said, "Well, I'm sure she had it coming." Some people just don't listen. And then when some do, you wonder what they're really thinking. Are we ever like that? Going through life, not really listening? Not really paying attention. Just going through the motions. Acting as though we're sincere, but not really. It is a constant concern for those engaged in public speaking and in other areas of communication to make sure that the hearers are actually hearing, that the listeners are actually listening. You think about the speech that Shakespeare scripted for Mark Antony in the play Julius Caesar. When he stood to give Caesar's eulogy, he began with, "Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears," a desire to be heard. Or we think biblically, Proverbs 4 and verse 20, the father speaking to the son, "Hearken, my son, unto my words, give thine ear unto my sayings." Listen, pay attention, hear. The same is true for Moses. In the book of Deuteronomy, Moses gives a series of speeches. Now, we look at Deuteronomy because those that are involved in the daily Bible reading, if you're trying to read through the Bible in a year, you finish Deuteronomy today or tomorrow, depending on what schedule you might have. The book of Deuteronomy is a powerful book. It's interesting. It's five sermons and a few other details mixed in. But Moses is the one that told God when he was originally called, "Lord, I'm not an eloquent man. Neither have I ever been, nor am I now, since you've spoken to me. I'm not eloquent. God, I can't talk pretty." And God had told Moses at that time, "I'll send Aaron, your brother, with you, and he'll be a mouthpiece for you." Well, at this point in Israel's travels, Aaron's dead. Moses had led them for 40 years, and this one who said, "I can't talk pretty," he's standing and speaking to the people. Five powerful sermons of remembrance, of righteousness, that deserve to be investigated. And a statement that he makes repeatedly in this book is a plea for their attention. "Hear, O Israel." Hear, O Israel. "Hear, therefore, O Israel." Now, keep in mind that God had told Moses, "I put the words in man's mouth. I gave man his tongue. Moses, I'm going to give you your words." What Moses says in this study is coming from God. Thus, when Moses says, "Hear, O Israel," it's actually God saying, "Listen up." And when we read the word Israel, we need to remember that term is synonymous with God's people. You think about Galatians 6:16, when Paul spoke of the Israel of God, "As many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and upon the Israel of God." He's not talking about the Israel that had rejected God at that point. He's talking about who God's people truly are in New Testament times, the church. When we read the words, "Hear, O Israel," let's just go ahead and think of it in these terms. God's people, listen up. This morning, God's people, let's listen. This book was not intended to teach Moses how to turn pagans into Israel. It was intended to show Israel how to be what Israel was supposed to be. Yes, it's prayed that if there's a soul here this morning that is lost and away from God and never obeyed the gospel, pray you'll obey the gospel this morning. And we'll talk about how to do that in a few moments. But this study is intended for those who already are or at least profess to be Christians, imploring that as Moses pleaded with Israel to be the Israel that God wanted Israel to be, that we will listen in order to be the Christians that God wants us to be. Hear, O Israel. We'll look at four times that Moses used this statement. We'll start in Deuteronomy 5, and we're going to stay in Moses' second speech. There are a series of five sermons in Deuteronomy. We do not have the time afforded us to be able to investigate all of them. But as we look at this second speech, we want to note four ideas. Because when Moses pleaded with Israel to listen up, to lend their ears, he emphasizes what God wants in them, what God wants for them, what God wants from them, and why God wants them. We begin, open if you will to Deuteronomy 5 and verse 1. Hear, O people of God, what God wants in you. Moses tells the people of Israel, Deuteronomy 5, 1, he called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ear this day, that you may learn them. Keep them and do them. Moses says, Hear, listen to me. Now they've already gathered together to hear what he has to say, but he's emphasizing the importance of the words that are about to issue forth from his inspired mouth. These are words that they need to hear. What do they need to hear? Hear, O Israel, God's statutes, His judgments, His commandments. Statutes, the moral obligations that come with belonging to God. Judgments, doing what's right and recognizing the rights of others. Commandments, a summary statement, a general statement summarizing statutes and judgments, testimonies, and God's various precepts. What do the people need to hear? They need to hear what God has to say. They need to hear God's will. He didn't say, Hear, O Israel, because this is what I heard on late night news last night. Hear, O Israel, what Oprah just said. Hear, O Israel, what I heard on ESPN. Hear on Israel. Hear, O Israel, the statutes, commandments, and the judgments of God. Hear what they're saying on CNN or Fox. To be honest with you, I think I'd just soon get my news from a bird on a limb at this point. Hear, O Israel, what God has to say. That's it, bottom line. Why is it that so many want to stand up before people that say they've come together to hear God's Word preached, yet they never open God's Word? They might tell people to hold it up, but they never open it. Or if they do, they use one verse and the rest is a pep talk, a motivational speech. And God can't get a word in edgewise. Moses says, Hear, O Israel, the statutes, judgments, and commandments, which I command you. Hear what God has to say. Why? So that you may learn them. I speak them in your ears. So that you will learn them. The word translated learn is an interesting word. The Hebrew word is lamad. It originally indicated to goad, to poke or to guide. It came to be synonymous with the idea of learning and teaching, being guided or directed by instruction. It's not just a matter of sitting down and memorizing facts. Let it guide you. Let it instruct you. Learn from what God has said. Learn God's will. It's not the case that man is born automatically, instinctively knowing God's will. It is the case that man is born with the ability to know God's will, if man will use the senses that God has so graciously given man. if we'll open our eyes, if we'll open our ears, we can see and understand what God has to say. It requires learning. So many people will say things like, well, I worship God my way. In this very book, Deuteronomy chapter 12, God actually tells Moses tells the people for God, don't do every man as seems right in his eyes. You're not going to behave the way you're acting this day. You're going to serve God where He tells you to serve. You're going to offer to God where He tells you to offer. I had a conversation with a man this week. I asked, where do you worship? He said, well, I worship my way. I really don't believe in organized religion. I worship my way. I said, how's that working out for you? He said, oh, well, it's working out great. Interestingly, this was someone that had called for financial assistance. I said, what? So you don't believe in organized religion, but you're coming to organized religion for financial assistance. He had to think about his hypocrisy. Friends, when I say I'm going to do it all my way, I'm going to end up stuck in a rut and away from God. But if I'll be willing to learn God's way, then we can get somewhere. Hear what God wants in you. He wants His Word in you. He wants you to learn His will. Not just to learn it, but to keep it, Deuteronomy 5:1. The word translated keep, shema. This word is the idea of building a hedge of thorns around, to guard, to protect. Have you ever been told something and you thought immediately, I don't want to forget that, I'm going to write it down. I don't want to forget this, so I'm going to give myself a reminder. I don't want that to leave my mind, so I'm going to put forth the effort. Or are you like me and you meet people and you want to remember their names, but you just can't do it. And so Ralph becomes Ronald. Or Sandra becomes Trudy. You get names so mixed up, sometimes they're not even close. God said, don't do that with my word. Guard it. Keep it. Pay attention to it. Friends, it's not the case that I learn something by hearing it once and then I go my merry way and never ponder it again. Learning requires effort. And it requires holding on to what I've been taught. I learned much when I was in college. I had a chemistry professor named Dr. Furch. He was hilarious. And he thought the guys that sat with me were hilarious. He called us the peanut gallery. But I enjoyed Dr. Furch's class. At this point, I don't think I could tell you a thing that he taught. Because guess how often I deal in matters of chemistry nowadays? Maybe if I'm in the kitchen, but that's another matter. You get the idea. If I do not apply myself to a particular area of study or learning, if I do not guard it and keep it, I will lose it. There's a statement among those who are fitness enthusiasts concerning muscle mass. Use it or lose it. Because if you don't use the muscles, they're going to deteriorate. You're looking at an example. The same's true with this muscle up here. And if I'm not using God's Word, if I'm not using what I've learned, I'm going to lose it. Therefore, I'm to keep it, protect it, pay attention to it. That's Moses' plea for Israel. Learn it. Keep it. And when I do that, well, friends, it's not just an academic pursuit. It's a matter of living it. That ye may learn them, keep them, and do them. Hear, Israel, so that you can put into you what God wants in you, so that you can keep in you what God wants in you, and so that you can live in your life the way God desires for your life to be lived. Hear, Israel. Pay attention. Give heed. Now, we understand that today we do not live under the law of Moses. Now, if you read through Deuteronomy 5, you'll see Moses go on to recall the Ten Commandments for the people that were there that day. Because it had been 40 years since they had received the Ten Commandments. He gives them a reminder of what God's law was, God's covenant. But if I'm a Christian, I've been delivered from the law and married unto Christ, Romans 7:4. Paul would even go on to say that Romans 7, verse 6, we are delivered from the law, being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit, not the oldness of the letter. What law? From what law are we delivered, Paul? The law that said, thou shalt not lust, thou shalt not covet, Romans 7 and verse 7. We think about what the New Testament says about the law of God, and we understand we're under the law of Christ. Or you look at Galatians 3, where Paul calls the law of Moses a schoolmaster that was intended to lead the world to Christ for when Christ would come. A schoolmaster was one that led students to the teacher. Galatians 3:24, the law was our schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. But after that faith has come, we're no longer under the schoolmaster. We're no longer under the law of Moses, is the point. We're under the law of Christ. But the principle is still true. The law of Christ will not be lived in my life if it is not learned and protected in my heart. We consider what Paul told the Colossians. Colossians 3, beginning in verse 16, let. Let is a verb. I have to let something happen. That is an action. It's a decision that I make. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. I have to decide to let Christ's Word dwell in me richly. I have to decide to let the Word of the Savior grow and flourish within my life. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You want to know how God's Word is truly going to grow in your life? How it's going to dwell and flourish? Don't just study it and memorize things academically. Teach it to others. An idea we see come up later as Moses continues speaking with Israel. Teaching and admonishing one another, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Paul makes the same point to Christians that Moses made to Israel. Learn the Word of Christ. Protect it, keep it, let it dwell in you, and live it. Hear, O Israel, what God wants in you, it's His will that He desires to be in you. But not just what God wants in you. Now turn over a page to Deuteronomy 6. We begin at verse 1. Moses, having again reviewed the Ten Commandments and spoke of interaction with God at that occasion, goes on to say, Deuteronomy 6:1, now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land where you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments which I command thee and thy son's son all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Do you see a theme recurring here? And our first idea, when Moses said, hear what God wants in you, statutes, commandments, judgments, hear what God has to say. And this is how you're to respond. In this case, Moses will say in verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do what? Do what? The statutes, commandments, and judgments. These are the commandments, the statutes, and judgments, verse 1, which the Lord your God commanded, 6 and verse 1. Keep all His statutes, verse 2, and His commandments, which I command you. Listen to what God has to say. Yes, God cares whether you listen. It doesn't matter what anyone else in this world says. Well, God just wants me to be happy. Whoever fed you that garbage is lying to you. God wants you to be happy, yes, in Him. And if being in Him doesn't make you happy, ain't no happiness. God wants you to hear His Word. Why? What does God want for you? He just wants me to be happy. That's what Joel Theismann said when he left his wife for another woman. Well, God wants Joel Theismann to be happy. God wants Joel Theismann and everyone else out there living life for themselves to wake up and live for Him. Why? Well, notice what is said in verse 3. Hear, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers has promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Why should I listen to what God has to say? It's because of what He wants for you. Because of what He's promised. God wants to bless you. It's what Moses told Israel. Hear and observe to do it. Put some effort into what God has to say so that it may be well with thee. I know, because I've spoken with them, that there are people that love to respond to, how are you doing today? With, oh, I'm burning. Something's always wrong. But for those that are of sound mind and body, when someone says, how are you today? How do you want to respond? Because if you gain joy out of responding with a gripe, we need to sit down and talk. And it might be a belt that needs to do the talking, truth be told, but we need to sit down and talk. A person of a Christian mentality, when asked, how are you doing, desires to say, I'm doing well. Moses tells the people, do you want to be able to enjoy life? Do you want to be able to appreciate life? Do you want to be able to say that, hey, I'm doing all right? Things are well with me, that it may be well with thee. Listen to what God has to say. Observe to do His commands. Friends, it's not just a matter of God wants to bless you, but God wants you to realize what blessings He's already given. That was the case with Israel. Moses would go on to stress to them in chapter 8 how God had led them through the wilderness, had humbled them, and had allowed them to do without from time to time so that He might prove them who they were and that they might know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The point being, God will allow them to endure difficult times so they could appreciate what their real blessings were. The same's true for us. For me to say things are well doesn't mean everything's just hunky-dory in every facet of life. I may be facing an issue or two, but I've got my eye on a bigger picture. I've got my eye on God's blessings, God's standards, God's will, that it may be well with thee. It's interesting how the more I focus on God's Word and God's will, the less I focus on me. The more I focus on God's Word and God's will, the more gratitude increases and ingratitude decreases. The more accountability increases and blame decreases. There are those that say, well, God's not blessing me. I don't want to follow God. I'm not going to go worship because God's not giving me a good enough job. Or God let one of my family members pass away. God has caused me to have financial issues. I'm sick. I'm not as healthy as I used to be. I'm so focused on the negative, I don't see the blessings. Then there are those who bring the sin upon themselves, the hardship upon themselves. I'm going to live my life like a drunk. And then when I've spent all my money on booze, or when I've wasted it on the gambling, I'm going to blame God because I don't have anything. But when I set my focus squarely on His standard, His Word, and His will, I'll stop blaming Him when hard times come my way. And I'll start exhibiting some gratitude and even recognizing some blessings that I never identified before. Moses says, observe to do God's will, and you'll know what it means to live well. Not to live wealthy, but to live well, to appreciate life and to get the most out of it. God wants to bless you. Not only that, God wants to increase you. That's the other statement Moses made in verse 3. That ye may increase mightily, he said. God wants you to grow as an individual, us as a congregation. We think of increase, and generally we think of that in good terms, unless we start talking about weight and then it kind of gets a flip side, but you understand the point. We think of the word increase. How's your life? It's increasing. It means it's getting better. growing. How's your family? It's increasing. How's your faith? It's increasing. How's the congregation that meets at De Gaulle Drive? Can we answer with that statement? We're increasing. Pray so. Individually and in number. Because when we increase in numbers, we're adding individuals who are individually increasing themselves. The point being this. God wants you to increase. Now, God never promised that everyone that claims to follow Him is going to have a four-car garage and an 80,000 square foot house. In fact, usually when you find someone with that kind of garage and that kind of house, he's only claiming to follow God, but he's preaching in a stadium in Texas somewhere, spreading false doctrine. No, what God has promised is not only I'll be able to recognize blessings, I'll be able to recognize what true growth is. Now, let's think about this congregation. Are we truly observing His will, His statutes, His judgments, His commandments? Are we listening to the Word of Christ? Are we letting it dwell in us richly? And are we giving thanks unto God the Father in Christ Jesus? Are we using the tools that have been put into our hands? Are we making the most of these prayer cards that the elders have agreed for us to put together so we can be praying for each other? It's been a delight. At this point, I can't tell you every name for which I prayed in the past 10 weeks, but I can tell you the number of brethren for whom I prayed. I can't honestly say that before we had these prayer cards, I was specifically praying for everyone by name as often as I am. But now, I'm made to think about faces and people. I'm made to think more about strengths and weaknesses. You've got them too. And to be able to go to God in prayer for you, mentioning your name. God, I prayed for you. Eugene, I prayed for you today. Jennifer, I prayed for you today. Troy, I prayed for you today. Have you looked to see if your name's on those cards? My children have. They tried to get me in trouble. Dad, I found you. Where's Mom's name? Don't you do that. I didn't leave her out. Are we praying for each other? And are we praying for the growth of the church? Are we praying for the goals that are set before us? And are we contributing our own efforts to reach those goals? To glorify God by reading His Word daily. To glorify God by saying, you know what? I can read through the New Testament in a year. It's less than 200 chapters. On a standard Bible reading plan, the New Testament only takes 3 months to read through it at about 3 to 4 chapters a day. Are we telling ourselves, I can give God more of my life? I can give God all of my life. God wants to increase you. Are we letting Him? Are we putting ourselves in a position to where He truly can? Are we growing? Hear, O Israel, what God wants in you. It's His will. He wants you to learn it, to keep it, to live it. Hear, O Israel, what God wants for you is to be able to keep His promises. He simply wants to keep His promises that you can know what a good life is, that you can grow. And hear, O Israel, what God wants from you. We come to verse 4 of chapter 6. Where Moses says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. This may be the single most remembered occasion wherein Moses makes this statement. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. People have asked, what does God want from me? What will it take to please God? They asked the same question in Micah's day, 10,000 rivers of baths, 1,000 rams. My child, the fruit of my womb, the fruit of my body, for the sin of my soul. What's it going to take to make God happy? What does God want? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. Jesus was asked, what's the greatest commandment? And of all of the passages in the Old Testament, 39 books, he went to that verse. Deuteronomy 6:5. You want to know what the greatest commandment is? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. What's that mean? That means God wants my love. With all my heart, the seat of emotions and affections. God wants me to love Him with sincerity, not lip service. With all my heart, not part of it. Peter would say, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Peter did not say, sanctify a little bitty corner in your hearts for the Lord God. He said, sanctify God in your hearts. Set Him apart. Put Him up on high. Let Him sit in the throne of your heart and rule it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. What do I love most? Family? Jesus spoke against that. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:37. What am I going to love more? Money? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not corrupt and thieves do not break through and steal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth corrupts and where thieves break through and steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's my heart? What do I love most? Is it family? I love my family. They're a blessing. But if I love them more than God, then I'm not doing them any favors because I'm not going to lead them to the Heavenly Father. Is it money? Money's a blessing. But if I love it more than God, I've missed it. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Not just with all thy heart, but with all thy soul. The word translated soul indicates the being of a man. It encompasses personality, the self-behavior. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and let it impact your personality, who you are, the way you behave, the way you think. It's one thing to say, I love God, and then go off doing whatever pleases me, participating in whatever sin floats my boat, justifying whatever action tickles my fancy. It's another thing to say, I love God. And so I'm staying away from that sin. I love God, so I'm not going to treat my brethren that way. I love God, so I'm going to be with my brethren when they come together. I love God, so I'm not going to skip Wednesday night so I can watch who knows what's on TV. Honestly, don't know. I've never watched Wednesday night TV in years. I love God. So I'm not going to run around with these people that are trying to tell me that sin is acceptable. God loves you just the way you are. Well, if that's the case, why isn't Satan in heaven? Do we realize how ridiculous some of the things are that people say, trying to turn God into the exact opposite of what He is? God sees your value as you are, but He wants you to be what He made you to be, made in His image. I love God. Therefore, I'm to love Him with all the heart, with all the soul, with every fiber of my being, with who I am, with my personality. That means that my love for God is going to impact the way I speak to other people, the way I treat other people. And I don't know about you, but I'm ashamed to say that sometimes my initial reaction when someone does something is a reminder to me that I need to love God more. Because sometimes I want to shoot from the hip. I want to let that tongue out from the gate, from behind that white picket fence of teeth, and just let it do its job. Is that how God wants me to behave? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, your personality, with who you are, and with all your might, all your strength, all your effort. Love God. And love God enough, not just to say, I love God, but to share Him. I love the next statement of Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. If I'm going to love God with all my heart, guess what's going to be in my heart? His Word. and thou shalt teach it diligently to thy children. If I love God, one thing I'm going to do is share it with my children. I'm going to talk about God when we sit in our house and when we walk by the way, when we lie down, go to bed, when we rise up, get up in the morning. God's not going to be a once a week topic of conversation. I'm not going to spend more time talking with my children about LSU football than I am about the God of heaven. I'm not going to spend more time talking with my children about politics than I am the God of heaven. Some people know a lot more about Donald Trump than they do Jesus Christ. And I'm here to tell you, there's a big difference between the two. Friends, what are we teaching our children? If anyone can discern whether or not you truly love God, your children can, based on what you've taught them or what you haven't. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Love the Lord. Love Him with all your heart, soul, might. And love Him enough to share Him. Teach Him to your children. And remember Him. Love Him enough to let His Word be as frontlets before your eyes, as signs upon your hands. Love Him enough that you'd write His Word on the doorposts and the gates. Love Him enough that you want His Word and reminders of it everywhere. Love Him enough to remember Him. I remember when I was a child, there was a picture posted in one room of the house. And this particular picture would be seen by me daily. And it was Isaiah 26:3. It was a picture frame with a verse in it. Thou shalt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. I didn't know what it meant. I didn't know what it meant when I was 8. I didn't know what it meant when I was 18. I didn't know what it meant when I was 28 and I was in preaching school. But I had the verse in there. And I've come to learn what it means. Parents, let me just go ahead and tell you something. Those of you that say it is fruitless to teach children memory verses they can't understand, stop condemning your own children. If we embed within them the Word of God, the message is there, and as they mature, they'll come to understand it even better. But when we take this hyper-stupid approach, I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to use the word stupid anymore, brutish, this hyper-brutish approach that says, well, we can't teach them until they're mature enough to understand. They're not mature enough to understand math and all the implications of it, but we teach them 2 plus 2. They're not mature enough to understand all of the implications of English, but we teach them what a sentence is. Let's teach them. Why? Because we love them and because we love God. Love Him enough to share Him, to remember Him, and also to honor Him. Verse 13, thou shalt fear the Lord thy God. Moses says, Deuteronomy 6:13, serve Him and will swear by His name. He's my Lord. He's my Master. He's the one I serve. Hear, O Israel, what God wants in you. It's His Word. What He wants for you, His blessings. What He wants from you, your love. A final thought. Why? Why does God want me? Moses will say, beginning in Deuteronomy 9, hear, O Israel, thou art to pass over Jordan this day, to go in and possess the nations greater and mightier than yourself, cities great and fenced up to heaven. And he describes the people they're going to conquer, people great and tall, the sons of the Anakims. Understand this day, verse 3, that the Lord thy God is He which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. God has done this for you, Deuteronomy 9, 3. Verse 4, do not say in your heart, after God's done this for you, for my righteousness the Lord hath brought me here. Why does God want His Word in you? Is it because you're so righteous? Why does God want to bless you? Is it because you're so good? why does God want your love? Is it just because you've got such a sweet personality? Let's back up. Look at Deuteronomy 7 for just a second. Deuteronomy 7:7. The Lord did not set His love upon you nor choose you because you were more in number than any people, for you are the fewest of all people. Friends, God doesn't want you just because there's a bunch of us. God doesn't say, I want that church just because there's a lot of people in it. It's not a matter of number. Nor is it a matter of our own personal power. Deuteronomy 8, the statement is made in verse 17 after Moses has warned them, when you come into the land and you've eaten and you're full and you have all these blessings and your heart be lifted up, verse 14, don't say in your heart, verse 17, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. It's not our number and it's not our power. I don't care how much you can bench press. I don't care how high your vertical jump is. It's not your power. It's not your number, nor is it our righteousness. We return to Deuteronomy 9, wherein Moses said to the people, verse 5, not for thy righteousness or the uprightness of thine heart. It wasn't because you're so righteous. Why does God want to bless you? Why does God want to benefit me in such a way? Because He made a promise. Look at chapter 7 again. After Moses said, it's not because you were so many, verse 8 of Deuteronomy 7, but because the Lord loved you and He would keep the oath that He swore to your fathers. God made a promise and you're it. Chapter 8, looking at verse 18, after Moses says, don't say it's your power that got you all this wealth, but remember the Lord your God, for it's He that giveth thee power to get wealth, that He may establish His covenant, which He sware unto thy fathers. God wants to bless you so that He can keep His word. It happens again in chapter 9. Verse 5, it's not for thy righteousness or the uprightness of thine heart, dost thou go to possess their land, but for the wickedness of these nations the Lord drives them out from before thee, that He may perform the word which the Lord sware unto thy fathers. God simply wants to keep His word. It's not our righteousness that earns anything. But there's another thought we need to keep in mind. What does God want in us? His will. He wants us to heed His statutes, commandments, and judgments. He wants us to listen to what He has to say. Why? Deuteronomy 6, 24 and 25. The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He may preserve us alive as it is at this day, that it shall be our righteousness. You want to know how we are righteous? In listening to what He has to say. Hear why God wants you. It's because He's that good and He wants you to be according to His will. Moses would make a statement, Deuteronomy 10, beginning in verse 12. And now, O Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in His ways, to love the Lord thy God, to serve Him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. Have we ever thought about where we have been? Paul made the statement in Romans 5, God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Do we remember the depth of sin around us? And nevertheless, Jesus died for us. How far God is willing to bring us home? Let me ask you this morning, is God's Word an everyday part of your life? In reading and in living, are you listening to what He has to say? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? Jesus said, he that rejects me receives not my words as one that judges him. Have you heard the word of Jesus when He said, except ye believe that I'm He, shall die in your sins, John 8, 24. When He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish, Luke 13, 3. Have you listened to Jesus when He said, whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father, Matthew 10, 32 and 33. And have you listened to what Jesus had to say when He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved? Have you come to Jesus? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. Do you love Him enough to follow Him? If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, the opportunity is extended as we stand together and as we sing.